Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Ferguson of the Super Fantastic Show. And listen, I'm driving in my car right now, and I just got off the phone with somebody that directed me to a restaurant. And let me be clear. Let me be painfully clear when I tell you what I'm telling you. I am from the South. The Deep South. Don't get no deeper than South Florida. I'm from the Deep South. Don't you ever in your life recommend me to a rib place or a rib joint where I can't see no smoke coming out the damn roof. If ain't no smoke coming out the roof, it is not a rib spot. Y'all in there cooking short ribs in the pot. Don't you bake me no ribs in the oven or no food and stuff like that. Listen, a barbecue joint, huh, got smoke coming out the top. Somewhere, it is so small. I should be able to be about 2-3 blocks down from the barbecue spot, and I need to be able to see it. It's almost like it's a smoke signal, huh? I should see the smoke. Damn it. This is Dr. Ferguson. I hope you have a super fantastic day.
What's up, everybody? This is B-More. I've got memories of good friends, and often those memories are tied to something emotionalized. My earlier memories with my next guest, Chef Brent Hughes, sitting in a hotel room in Detroit, Michigan, talking about the DMX single that was just released. And this is just like DMX's first single. It's probably like Get At Me Dog or something. We were at a Nesby conference in Detroit, Michigan in the wintertime. Roommates.
Yes, sir.
Brent Hughes.
What's happening?
Welcome to the Super Fantastic Show, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Now, listen, man, you are you're a bit of a legend when it comes to the impact that you have on Howard University homecoming.
Wow, that's a good way to put it, I guess.
Yeah.
I never thought about it.
I would say so, you know, because if you go back, like 5 years, you're talking about like the dawn of the expansion from the yard down to the tailgate.
Right.
And then that first year, there's like a claiming of the space and really people are feeling it out. Like, do I go down or do I stay up on the yard by the flagpole? What do I do?
Right.
And in that year, amongst the what would become the cornerstones of that tailgate, you have just cemented yourself in such a place, in that place and that time and that space, because your food just trumps everything else that even exists in that whole sphere.
I can humbly agree with that.
I agree wholeheartedly. And in the years after that, like year after year after year, it just becomes, I know exactly where you'll be. I can get a good idea of what you'll be cooking because I've seen the pictures on the internet that you post on the way up to it. And you know who you're going to see. You're going to see all the people you want to see that you saw last year in the same exact space.
Right.
So, you and I talk pretty often. We have one big thing in common. We have a couple things in common. We have one big thing in common. That's a love for food.
Yes.
And you have this genius, what I call genius concept that you've been developing that I want to make sure we share on the Super Fantastic Show, because there's definitely a crossover. There's a trifecta happening. We're at the nexus, one of the nexuses of the universe where three key things are crossing over. That is eating for abs.
Yep.
That is Hughes Food, King of the Tailgate, and hip hop. These three things have just triangulated a certain space in the universe, and you're landing squarely on it.
Don't cross the stream.
Cross them. Cross the stream. Do it with charcoal.
Hey, sometimes you just gotta see what's gonna happen.
Hey, man. So I'm not even gonna I couldn't do it justice. I want you to properly explain to the best of your ability what is the Dopealicious number one.
Okay, so, well, let me just step back and say what the Dopealicious is to begin with. So, You know, usually when you go to an event, if it's a artistic endeavor, you usually have, you know, the artists on display and some music in the background. And usually the food is all usually relegated to the back, unless you're going to a specific food event. So with this, I wanted to create something that was about the food, but built around other types of art, and to bring the food to the forefront.
Okay.
So the key was art and food. Of course, culinary arts is what it's called, but a lot of people don't put the focus on the food for events like that. So what I decided to do was take one of my favorite CDs, Outkast's original debut album, Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music, and develop a menu based on the CD. And not in the way that I would develop a menu and then pick certain words out of the hip hop vernacular to fit what I had already planned. I actually listened to I've been listening to the CD for 20 years, technically.
Right.
But I sat down the past couple months and just listened to the CD a couple times a day, read the lyrics online, and just was going through it to pick out things that I could make into a dish.
So you're interpreting Outkast album.
Yes.
Through food.
Through food.
That sounds, I mean, I have so many ideas. I don't know what to expect.
And again, this is just the first one, right? So I'm going to take this one and see where it goes. And I'm also looking at, you know, I want to develop a cookbook with it. I've been talking to some artists about doing some original artwork around it so we could come up with, take the photographs and some of that original art and maybe develop a coffee table type book to go with it. So you can, you know, we're doing this actually in venues. Obviously you want to sit down and be able to eat the food, and we want to take it, I said around the country, but I might as well say around the world. Cause if you think about it, they just did a worldwide tour. So
yeah,
there's people everywhere that love Outkast.
For some reason, I feel the urge to tell you that I feel like I need to see some red velvet cake in that.
You almost made me cuss. It's I've already worked on that. That's already in there. And all I'm gonna say is the last song on the album is deep.
Mm.
And there's a line in there that says black lac, fresh velvet interior. I'll just let your imagination go where it go.
Oh man.
And you'll have to wait to see what that is.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, you know, as another thing, you're based in Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir.
So for now, people are going to have to go to Washington unless you're taking it on the road sooner than I think.
Well, I have some irons in the fire, and I have a birthday in June, and Atlanta is a nice place.
Nice.
That's, I'll just leave that there.
I also feel like you need some scratch and sniff stickers.
That might be a new, you know, we might need to bring that back.
Because if I'm in LA or I'm in New York and I can't make it, I feel like I just need to be a part. Can I get a scratch and sniff of each dish?
What you do, you go on HughesFoods.com/TheDopealicious and tell us to come to your city.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If you really want it, you know.
Now, okay.
I just want to put that out there.
I love it. Now we've got to slow it way down because people don't tune in because they want to hear the high level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have to give something of value.
So
you and I have not prepared, but I'm going to put you on the spot.
How you know I'm not prepared?
No, I expect you to be prepared.
What does Roddy say?
A lot. I don't know. Pick one. Pick one.
I believe it's something like, If you prepare to fail. No, it's better than that. It's something about being underprepared. If you're under, I don't remember. I had to edit this.
We're just gonna ask him next time. But listen,
ask him about that.
I don't mean to accuse you of not being prepared. I'm just saying, you and I have not discussed this prior to this very minute.
I obviously wasn't prepared to make that quote, so let me just shut up and let you finish what you was talking about.
All right, so let's start here.
Okay.
Number one.
Oh, I'm not giving away no more to me. Let me just put that out there first.
Okay.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will. I'm playing.
All right.
Let's go.
You're an engineer.
I am.
By education, which means...
But I was about to say, it's on my old resume that I'm no longer updating.
Right. Tell us about your journey towards food. I mean, how did we get here?
Okay. So, I mean, if you know me and you look at me, obviously I've eaten a lot of food in my life. And I'm from Lynchburg, Virginia, so I'm from the South. And our family would always get together and have Sunday dinners, Easter dinner. The big thing for us was always Christmas Eve. All the family would come in, and we'd probably feed like 200 or so people. So then I went to Howard and ate a lot of cafeteria and Howard China. And after that, I started exactly. I still remember the phone number too, but that's not important. That's not relevant conversation. And so I started cooking a little bit when I moved out the dorms and, you know, just sustenance type things, really. I was a college student. So I really realized I enjoyed cooking and was kind of good at it around 2001. I was living with my cousin at the time at the Cloisters, and he would cook, I would cook, and I would just invite people. I would find myself going to the store and shopping like I was shopping for 50 people. So while I'm at the store, I would call friends and family and be like, yo, just come through. We about to cook tonight and just, you know, eat. And folks would say, oh, this is good, whatever. And then I started thinking like, oh, I kind of like this cooking for people thing. Mm-hmm. So that, like, this was around 2001. So I started, I decided to figure out a way to get into the business. So I bartended for a while, and then I took a couple classes at one of the schools here, L'Académie des Cuisines. And I eventually took a 20-week course in culinary techniques and then a 10-week course in advanced culinary techniques from Chef Patrice Olivon, who was actually the Clinton chef when they were in the White House.
Nice.
And also a chef at the French Embassy. So not saying I went to, you know, I didn't go through the full program, but I learned enough to, I learned techniques. And because around that time, I did what everybody did. I'd buy a bunch of cookbooks and look at recipes. And then I realized it was more about the techniques than the recipe. If you know how to sear a piece of chicken, then you can season it how you want. You still got to sear that piece of chicken the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got more into techniques. And then in 2008, I was offered a severance package for my job. I left, ran a bar with some other Howard folks called Euphoria, Main Street. Then I cooked for another Howard guy at a place called The Library in Northeast. And then I went back to engineering for two reasons: to continue to effectively pay my mortgage.
There you go.
And to finish my MBA at GW.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that was to get ready to figure out what I was going to do next with food. So
now you've got engineer mindset, MBA, and culinary education, and it brings us up to now Hughes Food. You're doing meal delivery, you're doing catering, and you're in a city that has been touted as being the healthiest in the United States, which is cool. Do you do any work for people of specific diets? Let's say you have specific body goals. How does that work? I know everything is delicious, but do you actually do other stuff than just delicious?
Yeah, I'm working with one friend of mine, and meal delivery I just started, so I'm still like in the launch phase of that, so... I have a friend who has some specific macronutrient goals that he's working towards. So he gave me those numbers, and I portion his meals exactly as he wants them so that he's fueled the way he needs to be for his training.
Nice.
The meals I'm doing now, it's a nice protein, vegetable, and starch. And sometimes I got other folks who are like, you know, I don't want any starch, so... Instead of rice, I might give them an extra dose of veggies, or I did cauliflower rice this past weekend. So, or brown rice, sweet potatoes, just not the typical awful carbs that you know about. And not a bunch of grease and gravies. And I've gotten complaints like, hey, we need some gravy. I'm like, no, you don't. Just eat the food. granted, gravy makes everything better. But it's like, You don't necessarily need it. And
but, yeah, if you're just in for delicious, yes. If you've got body goals and you're trying to do something right. particular, it's good that you're able to adapt and keep it delicious and still help those people meet their needs, which is fantastic.
Right. And I figured out also talking to a client this weekend after a drop off, she said she went to an event and, you know, she was going to a formal event and she picked out a dress and folks were like, oh, it looked like you lost some weight. And she realized because she was getting from meals from me, she had better portion control.
Excellent.
You know, so I've got these containers that I'm using that you can fit a nice bit of protein and then I put the carbs and the vegetables up top, or some people wanted, you know, just give me a lot of vegetables and a little less protein, that sort of thing. So it's the portion control is something that I didn't even think about, but you and I've talked about it. It's something that if you just do that, that'll make a world of difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's ask some specifics, and I'm getting back to that menu in a second. I'm giving you time to breathe. Thinking you'll reconsider.
I already have an answer for you.
Okay, all right. So
it's going to require some work on your part, though.
Oh no! Oh no! All right. So listen, if you had to, aside from your family, the dog, the wife, if your house was on fire, God forbid, and you had an opportunity to grab three items out of your kitchen,
oh wow!
What would they be?
My knife.
What is it?
It's just the knife I got at cooking school. It's a Mercer's about a 8-inch chef's knife.
Okay. Is it the vegetable type, or is it the pointed at the end?
It's a chef's knife.
Well, there are several types of chef knives. I'm trying to see which one you prefer.
I'm an American chef.
Okay. All right.
So with the point at the end, a classic
8-inch plastic handle, full tong.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's one.
Yes.
What else?
A big old tub of garlic.
You will grab your tub of garlic. Okay.
Yeah, I need my garlic in everything. And I'm looking around the kitchen right now. My large nonstick saute pan.
Okay. All right. Now, same question. But three albums.
Oh. Another playlist of Cadillac music.
Okay.
Boy. Love Supreme.
All right.
You are an ass for this one. Oh, man. I mean, Paid in Full.
All right. Very paid good. In full. Okay. Paid in full. Now, back to this menu, sir.
Yes, sir.
Give me one song and something to expect from the Dopealicious Volume 1.
Okay, let's see. We have Crumbling Herb. So, the song is about herb. As you know, it's one of the ones that there's only so much time left in this crazy world. I'm just crumbling herb. So this is going to be a drink, and it's going to be an herbal old fashioned.
An herbal old fashioned.
Yes. Do you know what an old fashioned is?
I don't.
Yeah, I was a bartender too. So an old fashioned is a whiskey based drink with either simple syrup, some sort of flavoring, and a citrus. I do it with a citrus juice. Mm-hmm. And garnish usually with a cherry or something like that. So what we decided to do, and again, for this first one, I'm working with a local caterer who actually catered my wedding and I worked for last year, but he started a supper club called Spoke Kitchen, and his thing is local and organic. So where you're going to find, we have a local White Lightning whiskey, mm-hmm, from one of the distillers here. We want them to have add a lavender syrup, and then some fresh squeezed lime juice. And then we're going to take some lemon thyme and hit it with the mortar and pestle and then garnish it with that.
Wow.
Right on top of it. So you can get that fresh scent of lemon thyme. And then it's back faded with that lemon, with the lavender syrup and a little lime juice and whiskey. And then that's going to go with the last two courses of the meal, which are the And then the got it.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, cool.
So tell people how can we participate?
Well, we actually just put up the information today, February 25th. The Dopealicious in DC is going to be next week, the 4th and 5th, and then the following week, the 11th and 12th. And you can sign up at the BespokeKitchenDC.com for that. But also, just for Dopealicious information in general, we're on Facebook as the Dopealicious, Instagram, the Dopealicious, Twitter, the Dopealicious, Medium, the Dopealicious, and also at HughesFoods.com/TheDopealicious to get on our mailing list. And like I said, we're going to let folks know. Well, folks can let us know where they want us to go. And also, if they have one question I ask in there, which I can ask you. One question I ask is, what's your favorite work of art?
My favorite work of art.
Could be music, could be a book, could be a painting, could be anything.
The first one that jumped in my head was Basquiat's Crowns.
Okay. So what I'm doing there is I'm going to try to gather some information from folks and take that and say, okay, a lot of people like this, or a lot of people like this in this area. Maybe we should tailor something for that. Mm. And for Dopealicious number, whatever.
So listen, last piece. People always ask me for recipes. I never give out recipes because I don't have any recipes.
I don't. Dude, that's the hardest part of this. I keep a notebook in the kitchen now, and it still doesn't make any sense.
My family, if you ask anyone in my family for a recipe, they're going to give you a list of ingredients at best.
Mm-hmm.
There's no temperatures. There's no times. There's no amounts. It's just, you need this, that, and the third. And pretty much, it's like giving me a box of Legos. And that's what they expect. I'm going to have to make this thing 5, 6, 7 times to get it how I want it to taste.
Right. Put your love in it.
But since we're on a Super Fantastic Show, and since you're the one with between the two of us with the title chef, I need you to give people one easy-to-do recipe that's going to turn out delicious.
Oh, man.
You're welcome.
Right. So, the thing that, you know, is something easy, healthy for folks to do is roast a chicken.
Okay.
That might sound intimidating to start with, but not that difficult. So, I like to truss my chickens. That means tie them up and keep it tight so that it cooks evenly, but you don't even have to go through that if you don't want to. So, basically, just season the chicken with salt, pepper, stuff it with some lemons. Again, no measurements. Lemons, some herbs, some garlic, some onions, maybe some citrus. What's so funny?
I'm listening. This is exactly what I expect.
Oh,
put some of this in there.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, get out everything that I just said, put in there, and then put in a little bit of each until nothing else fits.
Okay.
That is about as much as I can give you. And then you would, like I said, you would trust the chicken. And then something I learned from Chef Patrice was turn your oven up to maybe about 500.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do simple. That's part of this problem. And take a heavy pan, get it hot on the stove, and brown the sides and back of your chicken.
Okay.
Don't brown the breast. And then stick it in that hot oven for about 20 minutes, so 15, 20 minutes at that five, breast side up. Do not put the breast side down. And then after about 20 minutes, turn it down to about 400, another 20 minutes, turn it down a little bit, and check the temperature right between the thigh body. Wait till it gets to about 160. And it's okay to get in there and check it every now and then. It's not like your souffle is going to fall. People act like cooking is so delicate. You can open it and I would just say don't poke the breast. Find that joint between the thigh and the body so you won't release any juices.
Okay.
And when it's done, it should be about 105 degrees or so.
And how long should that take about?
Maybe an hour. So depending on the size of the chicken.
Okay. Also, what kind of fat are you browning it in?
I use vegetable oil.
Okay.
I use vegetable oil. A lot of people try to use olive oil, but it burns too quick. Mm. So.
Have you ever tried coconut oil or something with a high point?
Oh, yeah. I use coconut oil is even higher. I use coconut oil a lot, too.
Okay.
But I figure most folks might have just regular vegetable oil.
And the outside is just salt and pepper. No, nothing, no, none of the herbs, nothing on the outside. Everything was on the inside.
This is your
recipe, not mine.
I would probably do some paprika, garlic powder, maybe some thyme, like that.
Okay.
But you got to be careful with the garlic powder because it'll burn when you're browning it.
Okay.
So, yeah, skip the garlic powder.
And what are we serving this with?
You said one dish, dude. You didn't say a meal.
You're welcome.
So, something else I like to do, roast vegetables. So, you take some broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
And cut up, get the florets, and then put on some oil, balsamic vinegar, a little salt and pepper, and stick it. You can stick it in the oven at the same time you do the chicken at 500. But actually, wait till you get to 400, and then put the broccoli in there. It should take about 20 minutes for it to brown. But again, check it, because it's going to start to a little color because of the balsamic vinegar on there. So you want to, you want it to burn a little bit, because that makes it. And then you could roast some sweet potatoes. And if you want to, I did sweet potatoes. They came out great. It seems a little wasteful, but that's okay. Get a box of kosher salt and put it in a safe pan and cover the sweet potatoes with the salt. You don't have to do anything else. And bake it just like you would regularly. Mm-hmm. So about 350 for, it seems like these sweet potatoes have been taking a long time. So about 45 minutes to an hour until it's soft. Take it out that salt and it'll be awesome.
Nice.
The Super Fantastic Show.